Dear friends, I'm turning tonight to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1. And one verse for our consideration tonight. It's a remarkable verse. I don't need to convince you about the power every word, every verb, every adverb, every article, every preposition, every conjunction in the passage is so remarkable. Look at it, Ephesians 1 verse 3. Everything for your faith, for your building up, for your soul is in this one verse. It is a verse to furnish your mind with heavenly matters. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And my subject is really from that expression, all spiritual blessings. All, not some, not many, but all. You know, there are churches that are telling us we need a second blessing. No. We need 1,001 blessings, not just a second blessing. We need more than that. But Ephesians 1 verse 3 here stands as the heading. You know, you need headings sometimes. And this is the heading to the whole letter. It is really the outline. Everything Paul is going to discuss in the rest of the letter to the Ephesians in 6 chapters, it's all in this verse. He's going just to give us details and expand on those things in his letter. A tiny key. You know, you find those things in our world. You find a very tiny key, a small key, but it opens a big safe. So this one tiny verse will open for you the big stores, the bank, the spiritual bank of the treasures of God in the heavenly places. So this is what we are going to look at tonight. Christians are rich. Sometimes I like to think about the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. If you allow me to give you a subject for the whole letter, is about the prosperity of the Christian. Of course, not the prosperity gospel, but the prosperity, the riches of the believer. It's all here for our souls and for our walk and our service for the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks to us with great description. As I said, the Christians are rich beyond description, really, beyond measure, being enriched really with the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. This is what this verse is all about, my dear friends. And you see, when you look at the life of Paul, in regards to possessions, material possessions, oh, you may think Paul is very poor. Really. But you know what he tells us in the Word of God? Paul will say, poor, yet making many rich. Poor, but making many rich. That's the believer's standing. Oh, we are poor in regards to this world. This world will look down at us. Look at them. They are so poor. But we are given great riches in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul will say, having nothing, but possessing everything. Possessing everything. And remember, when Paul is telling us these things, he was in prison. This man was chained in prison. But he claims to be so rich. He couldn't even go to the local store. He couldn't walk to the local corner shop. No access to anything material of this world. But he tells us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Oh, my dear friends, may I convince you tonight? Fill your mind, fill your heart, fill your intelligence with Christ, and believe me, everything in this world will become dim in your sight and before you. God will be big. And like John the Baptist in John chapter 3 verse 30, he said there, oh, let him increase, let Christ increase, and me decrease, you and me to decrease. That's the calling of the Christian faith, of the Christian walk. And here again, as I want to explore really this one verse together, I believe we are transported into the third heaven. You know how often Paul's letter to the Ephesians is called? The third heaven letter. Because Paul is transported. There are only three heavens. People speak about the seventh heaven. They have never read the Bible. There are only three heavens. And the third heaven is the throne of God, the heavens of heaven. And look at the text, that last part. It says, in heavenly places. Actually, the Greek says, heavenlies. The word places there is in italic, which means it's not in the original. In the heavenlies, in the third heaven there. So, let me transport you tonight, oh, small as we are, just to be lifted up to the third heaven, to the very throne of Jesus Christ, to have a glimpse, to have a sight, or to see the marvelous Savior. I wish I have words to describe him to you, because we cannot really explain who Jesus Christ is. But look at, this is a fanfare of praise, really. You see, it is like an exclamation. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is an exclamation. This man bursts into praise as he contemplates the things that Jesus Christ has done for believers. Look at my first heading. The first thing, look at the action. The action of blessing. Blessed be. Blessed be. And we have the word in English. That's why I mention it to you. The word blessed there is our word in English. Eulogize. Giving a eulogy. You do it normally in a funeral, usually. But when you take a funeral, the eulogy means you want to speak highly about the person. I attended a funeral recently, and the preacher said, oh, in Kenya, there was a nephew of the uncle who died. When he came, he started to call the disease with all names. Oh, you don't know my uncle. He's a wicked man. Oh, that was not a eulogy. That's damaging. It's a place for comfort. And this is what we see here. Of course, not in a funeral, but to eulogize, to speak highly. That's the meaning. To give a good name to God. And that's the meaning here, to speak a good word. And that is why God is blessed in himself. We don't need, you hear people, they say, I bless you. My dear friends, can I convince you on that also? You cannot bless anyone. Only God can bless you. When we say we bless God, we don't add any blessing to him. I hope you know that. I'm sure you understand that. But it means we adore him, we pay our homage to him, we exalt him, we extol him in exultation, in extolation, in all praises. This is what we are doing. That's why I said, fill your mind with exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why worship begins always with God. And just as long as I can, you will never hear me choosing our first hymn in the church, starting with, bless us, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Give me, Lord. Help me to pass my exam. Protect me, Lord. Well, no, we should never start a worship with that. Never. The first hymn we should always choose, it is a hymn that gives exaltation to God. Praising God, speaking about the triune God, and elevating every person of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you see, worship always begins with God and it ends with God. Can I show you that in this passage, in this chapter, especially? Look at it. Verse 6. You see, after extolling the triune God, Paul in verse 6 says, all these things I have said unto you to the praise of the glory of his grace. Oh, these are all the superlatives are here. Can you see that? To the praise of the glory of his grace. And look at verse 12 of this chapter. That we should be to the praise of his glory. Look at verse 14 again. And to the praise of his glory. You see, it's all about the praise of Jesus Christ, the praise of his glory. Everything we do is to the praise of Jesus Christ. And you don't need me to convince you again. Verse 3 here is a Trinitarian verse. Do you see the Trinity there? Blessed be the God and Father, the Father is mentioned, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, the Son of God. And spiritual blessings are given to us, bestowed upon us by whom? By the Holy Spirit. You see, just in one verse, you find the whole Trinity put before us there. My dear friends, redemption leads to praise. And the focus here in verse 3 is not even on the blessing. But the focus, the emphasis is on the blesser. The blesser who is God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now may I tell you just one or two things that will destroy your worship to the living God? One of them is sin. Sin. Sin will destroy your worship. Sin will destroy your love for God. Number two, you don't need even to tell you these things. You know them. The number two is self-love. You know, you don't need to teach your child self-love. You don't need to give a lecture on self-love. We all love ourselves. But self-love will quench through worship and the praise of God. Number three, of course, you know, worldliness. Worldliness, to love the world. We should be separated from the world. And I can continue. A holy pride in you and me will quench and damage our worship of the living God. All these things, where God is worthy to be eulogized. He's worthy of our adoration. But I must hurry up, really. Number two, we spoke just in number one here of the act of blessing. God is worthy of our adoration. But look now, the blesser, the source and the fountain of our blessings. Oh, you don't need to go far. The verse says, blessed be the God and Father. That's the source and fountain, the God and Father for Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, we can really stop there. Number one, God is first of all God. That's number one. Number two, God is second, a Father. And believe me, there is no other religion in this world that tells you that you can be a child of God and God being your Father. Only the religion of the Bible. Number three, not only he is God, not only he is a Father, but he is the Father for Lord Jesus Christ. And number four, he is God, he is Father, he is the Father for Lord Jesus Christ, but he is our Father. Our Father, you remember the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, when you pray, say what? Our Father, thou which art in heaven. Do you see that? The religion of Christianity tells you can approach God as your Father. Oh, that is sublime, splendid, just to think about that. My mind is overwhelmed. that I can approach the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, as my own Father? That's your new identity in relation to God. And it should really, when you are downcast, the devil is coming, he's whispering into your ear that everyone can be a Christian except you. Oh, God is my Father. You can stand against it. You can mock the devil by telling him, devil, you will not win this time, because I can cry out, my heavenly Father, our heavenly Father. So that is so precious to me. And Christ here is said to be the Son of God. They are equal in power, in nature, and in essence. Blessed be the God and Father. You see, not a neutral God. Do you see the article there? Blessed be, if I may put the emphasis, blessed be the God, the one God. Not the God. Jehovah Witnesses, when they read John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Oh dear, that's terrible. John was not a polytheist. He didn't believe in many gods. One God in three persons. They should read verse 14, John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh. Verse 18, no one has ever seen God, but the Son who was in the bosom of God came to exegesato. That's the word exegesis there. He came to declare him. He came to explain him to us. The Lord Jesus Christ made God visible to us. So the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's important that that is mentioned, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It means there was no confusion. You will not confuse this God with anyone. My dear friends, when I speak with Muslims, often they say, oh, you said Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I said, no. I have never said that. I have never said that. My dear brothers and sisters, have you ever said that? No, we have never said that. Who said it? Who said it? God said it. Matthew 3 verse 17. John chapter 7. Matthew chapter 17. It's all there. Mark chapter 10. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So, take it to God, not to us. Because Christ is the Son of the living God. Equal with the Father. In eternity to eternity. And this is deep theology, I believe. Christ is the blessed Son of the blessed God and only potentate. You know how God is called in the Old Testament? Many times the prophets will say, blessed be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's why I told you earlier, God is blessed in himself. He doesn't need you and me. He doesn't need the angels. God is self-energized. He's self-sufficient. He doesn't need anyone outside himself. Blessed be the God of Israel. Oh, you cannot believe in God without believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. People who say they believe in God, ask them, who do you go to God through? What did Jesus Christ say to Philip? You remember, I'm sure. We all know John 14, verse 6. And Philip said to the Lord Jesus Christ, tell us where is the Father so that we can go to him. I'm paraphrasing the verse there in John chapter 14. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say to him? I have been with you so long. Don't you understand? Who has seen me has seen the Father. Oh, nobody knows the Father except by the Son. Please, later, when you have time, read Matthew chapter 11, verse 26 and 27. Nobody knows the Father except by the Lord Jesus Christ. And no one knows Jesus Christ except the one to whom the Father reveals. Perfect harmony and unity in the Trinity. Perfect harmony there. He was sent, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Father. or who has sinned, Christ has sinned the Father. Now, third. Number one, the blessing, the action of blessing. Number two, the blesser, the source and the fountain of our blessing. But look at the recipients, the beneficiaries. Who are they? Oh, the recipients who have blessed us. Each time I read us in the Bible, I ask people, are you one of us? Are you one of the us? It's important. If you are not one of the us, then the blessing is not yours. And look at the verse. It's in the past tense. It means everything God has in store for you and me is already yours right now. You don't have to wait until you get to heaven. Wake up for your treasures. They are yours even now, free and accessible now by faith. The Godhead spoke well. You see, blessed again. The Godhead eulogized you and me. He blessed you and me. He spoke a good word about you and me by giving us blessings. And those blessings are ours right now. Eternal life is yours right now. You don't have to wait to be there. And it says us, not to all people. That is why we keep telling people also that we don't believe in universalism, that everyone will go to heaven. That's a different gospel. It's another Bible. Not everyone. Only the us, the people who have confessed their sins, who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the people that the Father will welcome in heaven through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And look at again, I think the spiritual package comes for us, not just for Paul, not just for Peter. Go back to verse 1. I read for you verse 1 again. Ephesians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to whom? To the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful. So the blessings are for us. Who are the us? The saints and the faithful. May I ask you tonight, are you a faithful saint? And the word faithful just means full of faith. You have received that faith as a gift from the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he's not, of course, the God and Father of everyone, but he's the God and Father of only the Lord Jesus Christ and us by adoption. And remember, Christ is the Son of God by nature. We are the children of God by adoption. Undeserving, we are in return. My dear friends, this is a good application. Please, because you have been blessed, don't keep it for yourself. That would be selfishness. We want other people to receive the same blessings of salvation. Number four. Look at now the scope, the nature, and the quality of the blessings. Do you see it there? With all, comprehensive, global, with all types, all kinds of spiritual blessings. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, God is generous. He's not stingy. God is generous. He gives abundantly with all spiritual blessings. No good he withheld from his children. I think it's a cascade after cascade. It is a blessing after blessing. It is grace upon grace, mercy upon the believers. All free of charge, all spiritual blessings for our assurance to overcome sin, for our trials, for our troubles, for our tribulations, for our temptations. The blessings are given to you, husbands, to love your wives, wives to love their husbands, children to love their parents, parents to love their children, and so on. So you see the practicality of the blessings. I was speaking yesterday in our outreach with a man who goes to a Pentecostal church, and he said to me, you know, I'm a seer. I'm a seer. I see I can read things in people. Oh, I said to him, read, please, read some, I need to spend time in prayer. You see, but the spiritual blessings are practical. Loving one another, winning souls, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, praising Him, husbands loving their wives, children loving their parents and being obedient to their parents. That is the feeling of the Holy Spirit, actually. It's not speaking gibberish, but being practical. Oh, to worship the Lord, loving our neighbors, to serve Him. Name any trial, my dear friend. There is a corresponding blessing. Can I read you one verse? I know we are running against the time, but here is the verse, still in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Just to show you the purpose of those blessings given to us, and there are more blessings. Remember what I said? For every trial you are going through, there is a corresponding blessing. Verse 20 and 21 of chapter 3. Now, unto him that is able, God is able to do exceeding the superlative, abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You see the blessings beyond our thinking, beyond what we can ask. That is why, my dear friends, in our prayer meeting, please let us ask for big things, not the petty things of this world. Let us ask for things that we know we are in our human nature, we will never be able to obtain. And let us prove the Lord. We prove the Lord. And we see His hand upon our work in this local church. Without these blessings, we may have gold and silver. We may have a well-furnished bank account with many, many numbers. But without these blessings, we are a pauper. We are the poorest man and the poorest woman in the world. Material prosperity can be a scourge. I hear week after week about rich men or rich women who said, riches made me to be the most miserable person. But you see, the blessing, the spiritual blessing given to you by God will never make you to be miserable. They will make you to be a blessed man, a blessed woman. There are many things we do not have in common. But the spiritual blessings makes us to be one family. See, that is what we have in common. Look at even our faces tonight. You don't see two faces that look alike. But we have one thing in common. Jesus Christ, who has bestowed upon us all spiritual blessings. Oh, please, don't look for happiness in the wrong place. Don't look for happiness in the wrong store. Don't look for happiness in the wrong person. Don't look for happiness in wrong things. You can accumulate in the house. They'll be surrounded by so many goodies. But they will never make you happy until you find the Lord Jesus Christ. He is all in all. He is our happiness. He is our comfort. He is our treasure. He is our King and He is our Lord. My dear friends, let me tell you the fifth thing. Have I lost anyone? Oh, the action of blessing, number one. Number two, the blesser, the source and fountain of our blessings. Number three, the recipients. The blessing is for us, those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, look at it, the scope, the nature, and the quality. All spiritual, without distinction. God doesn't keep, He doesn't give halfway. And number five, look at the origin, the location. Where do they come from? You know, and this should really make you to think more. Earth cannot contain the blessings sent to us by God. They come from the heavenlies. Heaven is bigger than earth. And only heaven could contain them. Earth couldn't. They are heavenly good and pure and perfect. Heaven with the blessings, it is as if heaven comes on earth. Like Jesus Christ came on earth. Heavenly means no man can give them to you. You won't find them. When you go back home tonight, look at your shelves. You won't find them on your shelves. You won't find them in the store. You won't find them in any gallery or in any shopping center. They come from above, from the Lord Jesus Christ. They come from only one address. Here is the address of our blessings. Heaven. Heaven. Only there. And heaven is his abode and our citizenship. All we have in this earth, my dear friends, will fade away. Nice car. Nice home. Don't know what you have. All will fade away. You know, sometimes I look at even things I have, I say to myself, why do you have this? And if I can just tell you something, don't have anything that makes you special. It will keep you humble. Have nothing, even in material things. We are not special people. Oh, my dear friends, life eternal will never pass away. The peace of God which passeth all understanding will never pass away. The comfort of the word of God will never pass away. The soul you have won yesterday or last year, 40 years ago, 132 years ago, when this church started, that will never fade away. All that work is already in heaven. Every soul that went already into heaven is in heaven, waiting for us to get there one day with the Lord Jesus Christ. Serving our Master will never fade away. Hearing our Lord through prayer will never fade away. Is this not an exhortation, my dear friends, not to accumulate our treasures in this world, but to invest our treasures in the heavenly places? I wish I could give you the five instances, in Ephesians here, this is the only letter where you find that expression in the heavenly places. The first one is here in Ephesians 1:3. If you want to glance quickly, chapter 2, verse 6, one is given there. Later in chapter 3, up to chapter 6, find them for yourself. You will see, you are discovering things in the Word of God, not through the preacher, but by your own study of the Word of God. Five times in the heavenlies, because our lives are hidden in the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And one day we shall meet the Lord Jesus Christ eternally in the heavenly places, because Christ is seated at the right hand of God in the heavenly places. But let me close. Number 6. Look at now the channel of our blessings. I wish I can tell you more, 10 things actually, just in that one verse. But number 6 here, look at it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, in Adam. No. In Moses. No. In Christ. Please later, I give you homework if you don't mind. Take just chapter 1. Count how many times you find in Christ, in Christ. May I tell you in advance that in Ephesians only you find that expression 40 times. And throughout the New Testament in Paul's letter, you find it at least 130 times. That's wonderful, because that word in Christ is everything. It is essential. Without Christ, you remember what Christ said in John chapter 15? Without me, you are nothing, or you can do nothing. And Philippians chapter 4 verse 13. We can do all things through whom? Through Christ that strengtheneth me, that strengtheneth us. Do you see again? You can do a whole study just on that expression. In Christ. Christ in you. Colossians chapter 2 there. Christ in you is the hope of what? The hope of glory. So we can really study. And if we are in Christ, all things are ours. Without Christ, it's total bankruptcy. Oh, my dear friends, all treasures of God, all the blessings are ascribed unto us by virtue of Christ and not on the name on anyone. The blessings are spiritual and are given only to the spiritual, not to the carnal man. The carnal wouldn't obtain the spiritual blessings of God, because God sees us only through Christ. Christ in us means that God is for us. Well, when you think about heaven, my dear friends, as I close, please think about Christ. The first person I want to see in heaven is not a mansion, the first thing, not a mansion, not the angels. The angels will still be spirit. Not even friends who I had in this world, not even wife, not even children, but the first person I want to see is Christ. Oh, just to see him face to face. No more condemnation in Christ. Whatever you have in this world, it is of Christ, in Christ, by Christ, through Christ. Who do you think you are? What is your identity? My dear friends, I may not have a father in this world. I may have never known him. But what is important? Look at your identity. Your identity is in Christ. Christ in you is the hope of glory. My dear friends, Christ is our head. We are the body. The head will come back for his body. But in closing again, will you keep these blessings just for yourself when you go out tonight? Will you not pray for those who are outside the kingdom of God? Oh, certainly, you should do so. Oh, this is our song. If you don't know this verse by heart tonight, please challenge yourself. This week, I will memorize this verse. This is our song. This is our praise. And this is even our motto. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ.